You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday Night Football, the Seahawks without Russell Wilson Jr. III head to Pittsburgh to battle the Steelers Sunday at 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Could the Steelers maybe salvage a decent start here through the first 8-9 games of the season? I don't know. Maybe the heat's off Ben just a little bit because it felt like everybody was calling for Ben to be benched. And I said, how about we just let it play out a little bit longer here? Maybe. Paulie, can you look at the schedule? I think they got one tough game. That might be against Cleveland. But the other two games, what, Bears-Lions?
Yeah, I got Pittsburgh hosting Seattle without Russ, bye week, at Cleveland, home against Chicago, home against Detroit, at L.A. Rams. Okay. I'm sorry, L.A. Chargers.
All right. Well, let's stop there before they get to the Chargers. But okay. Prior to that, you know, maybe they sort of salvage something here. Here's the news with Ben Simmons. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated says, a Ben Simmons return is inevitable. The Sixers simply aren't going to deal him before seeing what the market looks like in the next couple of months. And Simmons is losing seven figures nearly every week. The question is, will his teammates welcome Sims back? Adrian Wojnarowski reporting Sixers officials and Clutch CEO Rich Paul have progressed in talks over recent days on a resolution to bring Ben Simmons back to Philadelphia in the near future. One source tells ESPN discussions are ongoing. All right. Well, first of all, if Mannix is saying Ben Simmons' return is inevitable, he didn't say that when he was with us when we talked about this. If everybody knew this, you know what happened? There's no market for Ben Simmons right now. What the Sixers want in return, they gave it a shot. And on Ben Simmons' side, he looked up and went, wait a minute, how much am I losing each week? How much am I going to continue to lose? And then you're going to try to bring him back? Good luck with that. I don't know. Is he shooting better free throws percentage? Is he shooting better from three? Because that's what this comes down to. He has to get into a mindset that Giannis has. Giannis is a worse shooter than Ben Simmons. But Giannis is not afraid. He's not afraid of failure. He will take it to the hoop. He'll shoot. He'll continue to shoot. He's aggressive. And he's going to be better as a shooter as a result. You got to put yourself in those positions to take those shots, those free throws, important ones. And until Ben Simmons does that, he's going to be broken. Now, was I hoping that he got out of there to see how good he can be? Yes. A place like San Antonio, Sacramento, Houston, Orlando, a place where the spotlight's not going to be as bright. And then he has a chance to have his own team. But you have to earn your own team. And Ben Simmons hasn't earned his own team. Doesn't mean he can't, but he's going back because it was inevitable. I didn't think it was. I thought he wanted out. If it was inevitable, then why was he holding out? Yeah, see.
Like, you know who's earned his own team? Dame. Damian Lillard has absolutely earned, like, this is my team.
Yeah, but Portland is his team.
Yeah. Yeah, Brad, I'm just saying that he went out and earned that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Ben Simmons hasn't earned it yet. He's just taking it.
I thought you meant he's earned a new team.
No. I'm saying that he's earned he played his way into being like, I'm the guy here.
Yes, I agree. But I don't know what this means for the Sixers. I mean, it's interesting. I'm certainly going to be curious how this all... And, you know, Ben has already, I guess, reportedly talked about, or sources close to, you know, that he doesn't like the style of playing with Joel Embiid. I get all of that. This isn't about Ben Simmons and the style you want to play. It's Joel Embiid's team. You have to adapt. And unless you're great and you can dictate, just play. Prove you can play. Find a way to help your team win. Yeah, Paul.
That first Sixers practice when Ben Simmons come back sure is awkward.
It's like
sports awkward is that's as good as it gets.
Hey, let's say hello to Ben Simmons. Hey Ben, what have you been doing in the off season? Anything? You've been trying to get out of here? That's right. Yes.
Can't wait for them to do that first phony huddle for the TV cameras. All right, guys, let's go out there. Let's go do the rebound. We're going to shoot the ball. We're going to do all this stuff. Okay, ready? On three.
Team, on three. One, two,
Like, dude, shut up, Ben. Got their hands half in. Okay.
Woj reports the organization's hopes are unchanged. Get Simmons back to Philadelphia onto the court. Ultimately convince him it's still the place for the long term. In other words, we couldn't find anybody who wanted to give us what we wanted here.
Welcome back.
Let's not kid anybody. Why didn't this stuff come out before? Hey, we plan on him coming back. We're not trading him. That wasn't said. You know, Joel Embiid has a tweet, whatever, a month ago. And I went, that is phony. Do I think Joel Embiid wants him back? No. It felt like, let's say something nice about him. So maybe a team looks at him differently. Like, we want to get rid of him. All right. Going to bring him back. And then what? You going to keep him? What happens that first time he goes to the line? Clank. What happened when he shoots his first three? Clank. Big game. Doesn't want the ball. Doesn't go to the hoop. Then what? And the Philadelphia fans, they're going to be cheering him real hard to start with, and then they'll turn on him by the end of the first quarter. Yeah, McLovin.
They hate him. I mean, they hate him more than they hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
I'll show you the tweets, a local. They think his minutes taking away from the other players is going to kill people.
Mm. Yeah, Paulie.
McLovin's right. I saw a couple posts that there's like a WWE event and they were yelling, you know, screw Ben Simmons, but a different word. But I saw a post last week that a local sporting goods store had already put his jerseys on the sale rack. Once they're on the sale rack, they don't go back.
By the way, Philadelphia fans have not always been accurate in their talent appraisal. I will admit that.
Yeah.
If they ran the teams, I'm not sure that would help.
We had to wait a while because of extreme weather to see it, but when the storm cleared, the Bills emerged as the new team to beat in the AFC. Josh Allen was great, leading Buffalo to an 18-point win, and it's been a while since the Chiefs were held under 21 points. I know it's week five, but the game could help determine home field advantage in the playoffs. And it was also revealed once again that Kansas City's defense is flawed. The inability to stop anybody puts even more pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Plus, you're seeing defenses play deep secondary. That way, you're not going to get home run throws to Tyreek Hill. And then, you know, I think his longest reception was maybe 13 or 14 yards last night. You know, teams will take that. If they know that they can put up at least 28 points, now you really put pressure on Patrick Mahomes. And you saw that. Two interceptions last night, a pick six that sealed the win for the Bills. The Chiefs' schedule eases up a little bit, but they got a lot to figure out here, and that is, can you just go out there and outscore teams? And they can't, because that defense allows you to stay in every single game. But the Bills' offense looked great. The defense looks improved, but that doesn't mean anything, because as of now, the Bills have reason to be confident they'll be playing in the AFC title game, but there's so much football left to be played. It's only week five. And injuries are going to play a large role. They already have. I mean, we're through 5 weeks and teams have a lot of injuries when you think about it. You got 17 games to navigate. Kansas City's allowing 32.6 points per game, most in the league. Right now, the defense has allowed, I think, more points than the offense has scored. I think it's 163 against, and the offense has scored 154. You didn't have Chris Jones there, but they just don't have playmakers. And if you don't have at least one or two of those guys, look at the Dallas Cowboys defense. They're able to get plays out of Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. Two guys. But that helps the rest of the defense. And the confidence level that's there, an offense that can move the chains, run time off the clock, defense gets on the field not as exposed as normal. And that was a big difference last year with Dallas. If you don't have an offense that can grind things out, eat up the clock, that defense back on the field, and we saw that defense is one of the worst in NFL history. Well, it's different this year with Dak. You got two running backs, you got wide receivers, and you got a couple of playmakers on defense. I mean, that's enough to get you into the playoffs and make a deep run in the playoffs. Yeah, Paul.
The Chiefs are the only team in the league that's given up more than 160 points this year. Their defense, scoring-wise, is worse than the Jaguars, worse than the Jets, worse than the Giants, worse than the Lions and the Falcons.
Other than that...
Yeah, no offense.
A couple of phone calls here, best and worst of the weekend. We'll start off the hour with Scott in Indiana. Hi, Scott. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Best of the weekend, if anyone else caught it, Sunday night broadcast, Al Michaels used his "there he goes" with Josh Allen on one of his runs, but he delivered it in a very monotone manner, just a matter of fact, "there he goes." And I was just wondering, did you guys change one of our best broadcasters?
Oh, no.
That's it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. God, I hope we're not in Al Michaels' head. Because when Al was with us, and I had Seton do his impersonation of Al Michaels talking about Lamar Jackson.
There he goes.
Do you think Al is saying Josh Allen takes off and he goes, and there
and
he goes.
Now he's running.
Yeah, and there
and
he,
now he's running.
And there he happens to be going eluding defenders. Yes, Paulie.
Yeah, it was a I'm looking back at it now. Josh Allen ran about 20 yards and slid. And Al just goes, there he goes. Very polite.
No.
What happened?
Dang.
We'll get the audio for you, Dan, so you can judge for yourself.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Paulie just sent me the audio. All right. I mean, we make things happen on this show, but that's not something I wanted to make happen.
And speaking of Allen running, there he goes on a 33
takes. It's over.
Yeah.
There he goes.
Yeah, that wasn't that. No. That lacked the exclamation point of there he goes.
There he goes.
Yes, Paul.
And I was going to be calling hockey in a few years.
Yeah.
Do you believe in special moments?
Yeah.
Do you believe in unlikely things coming true?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe. No, not yes.
I didn't see this coming.
Sort of. Yeah.
Possibly.
Do you believe in miracles? Maybe.
Why not?
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Talk to the former NFL quarterback, Carson Palmer.
Oh,
he will join us coming up. Take a break. It's 14 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. There's only one place to collect all the biggest superstars, all-time greats, hottest rookies, Panini trading cards. Yes, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. The exclusive trading card partners of the NFL. Panini America utilizes iconic brands like Donruss, Prism, and Contenders, National Treasures, and more to deliver instant classic trading cards. Most popular players like Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. You get autograph cards. There's memorabilia cards. There's rare inserts, hottest rookie cards. There's something for everyone in Panini America packs. And more than just the NFL, Panini, the exclusive home of the NBA, UFC, NASCAR, and collegiate trading cards. The intriguing matchups for Week 6, Florida's other teams. The Dolphins and Jags square off. Elite quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, have a showdown in Baltimore, high noon. Kyler and the Cards enter the dog pound to take on Baker and the Browns. How about that? A battle of former Texas high school QBs, turned number one overall picks, and former Oklahoma quarterbacks. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Carson Palmer, I wanted to play this from Urban Meyer's press conference yesterday because the Jags had a 4th-and-1, and I guess most people thought it was going to be a quarterback sneak with Trevor Lawrence, but here's Urban Meyer talking about his quarterback.
The quarterback sneak, he's not quite comfortable with it yet. We've been practicing that. I know that might sound silly, but when you've never done it, it's something that we need to continue to make that so you can make that call in that critical situation.
All right. And as you might guess, this is in college. This is the pros where we get to hear from the players themselves. And Trevor Lawrence was asked about that.
Trevor, going back to that goal line play, coach just said that you guys are still working on quarterback sneaks. Do you feel comfortable being under center in that situation for a quarterback sneak, or is that something you guys are still working on?
No, I feel comfortable. I mean, yeah, obviously I haven't really ran it before and in a game, but no, I feel comfortable. It's something we've worked, so we all can get better. But no, QB sneak is always something that we can get to, and I feel comfortable with.
Let's bring in Carson Palmer. Help me understand this. Most of these guys get into spread offense when they're in junior high, high school, college, and not normally under center. How big a deal is this that a quarterback, they're not comfortable running a quarterback sneak?
Well, I just think all of this is getting misconstrued a bit. Dan, have you ever seen the movie Heat, the Al Pacino movie, The Heat?
Yeah.
I think Urban's got the heat on him right now, and everything he says is going to be calculated and maybe misconstrued a bit. I just think his point was, look, we haven't run it in a game yet. I wasn't comfortable with the call on fourth and one. I'd be more comfortable if we'd run it a couple times. But I don't think in any way he was saying Trevor's not tough enough. He's scared of running it. I don't think that was his point. And I think that's what Trevor was saying is, look, you know, I'm ready for it. We haven't practiced it and I haven't run it in a game a bunch. But at the end of the day, Urban's got the heat on him. And everything he says right now is going to be, you know, overthought and talked about by everybody. I don't think there's anything really to this.
I understand it, but here's Tom Brady, who's still running a quarterback sneak at age 44. Why can't I have a 6'6", 23-year-old run a quarterback sneak? Like, is it just getting under center? Like, why haven't they practiced this, though? Sneak is really important to a lot of quarterbacks.
Unfortunately, you can't practice it, just like you can't practice with a quarterback being live in the pocket with the starting defense breathing down his neck, lighting him up in practice. You're just not going to expose your quarterback to injury practicing a quarterback sneak in the game. At the end of the day, they need to be in the first quarter on third and a half a yard or third and one and run it a couple times to where they're able and comfortable enough running it on fourth and one with the game on the line. But you cannot practice it. I've never practiced it in my career. I've never seen it practiced in my career. It's just something you got to call in a game, and that's your practice.
What is it like, though, when you go, and I'm just trying to envision this, when Brady goes to the line, and we know he's going to get the ball in the quarterback sneak, but as far as tapping, you know, your center's rear end on the right or left, if you're going to go, or how that works with the unspoken communication?
Yeah, as you come up to line of scrimmage, you're looking for a double team, meaning your center and guard on one defensive football player. So wherever that nose guard is, the guy that's closest, the defender closest to the center lines up. If he's on the left shoulder or the right shoulder, you just tap him on the butt and let that guard on that side also know that, hey, I want you two to double team that guy, and I'm going to just ride the wave. I'm going to get on the top of your back and push, and we're actually going to triple team that individual player. So it's like I said, it's just something that they actually need to practice it in a game. That's the only opportunity they're going to have to practice it.
I was just surprised that Urban didn't shake it off better.
Like, Urban's got the heat on him, man.
I know, but Belichick would have diffused that. He would have pushed that to the side and moved on, because, you know, in college, you wouldn't get to talk to the quarterback. In the pros, Trevor probably didn't know what Urban said. He's coming in next, and of course, they're going to ask him about that. I don't know. It just felt like it was a rookie mistake for the head coach.
It's exactly what it was. I mean, Urban's got the heat on him. Everything he says is going to be analyzed and over scrutinized. And he hasn't built up the equity that Belichick has. He hasn't earned the right to just kind of brush off a simple question by somebody and move on to the next one. He's got the heat on him. Every question is going to be overanalyzed. And you're right. That was a rookie mistake the way he handled that.
All in on the Chargers?
I'm all in on the Chargers because they can rush the passer and they got one of the best young QBs in the league. I mean, that combination, big, physical, hard-to-cover receivers. Keenan Allen is still one of the best-kept secrets in the league. I still don't understand why he doesn't quite get the love that some of these other guys do in the league. He's been doing it for a long time at a very high level. But they can rush the passer with Bosa, and they can throw the ball on anybody. I mean, Justin Herbert, everybody knows it. He's a star. He's a star in the making. So I'm all in on the Chargers, absolutely.
Okay, but what do you see with Justin Herbert? Because Jimmy Johnson on Fox's pregame show said he would take Justin Herbert over Patrick Mahomes.
That may be a stretch. I mean, Justin Herbert hasn't done it as many times as Patrick has, but I'm not saying that I don't know that Justin Herbert has the ability to win a Super Bowl or the talent to win a Super Bowl. We're about to find out this season. But man, the ball comes out of his hands so effortlessly. There's so much zip and acceleration on the football coming off of his fingertips, and he can take off and run. I mean, you saw him use his legs. He is a complete threat. Run it, throw it. He's smart. He's actually does a really, really good job for a young quarterback too. He does not panic. There's a lot of times where he held on the ball for a little bit too late, and then you see that quarterback that's young that tries to throw it away at the end, and a guy tips it and it becomes a pick or it becomes a fumble. He's really, really calm in bad situations and knows when to just eat it and live for another play and take the sack and move on to second and 16. So I just really like the temperament that he's playing with right now.
What would concern you about the Chiefs?
Just defense. I mean, they're obviously built with speed on the back end. If you look at the back end of that defense, there's not a defender over 210 pounds. They're built to stop the pass. You know, you get in situations against them late in the season, especially, and with the weather last night, the wind, the rain, you got to be able to run the ball, you know, forcefully down people's throats. And that's the one thing that Kansas City can't really stop right now is you can attack them in the run game. They are built to stop the pass because they're really building around Patrick, obviously. And, you know, they want to be in a situation where they're up 28-17 or 35-21, where they force the opposing offense into a throwing game. But last night you saw them get exposed. I mean, they hung 38 points on them last night. And Patrick isn't going to be able to keep up with every single opposing offense every week. There's going to be games like that. But I'm in saying all that, I don't think that I'm not saying that the Chiefs aren't going to make a run at it. I think they're going to be deep, you know, deep in the playoffs at the end of this season. But that's definitely a concern is the amount of points that have been hung on them early on this year.
I've had this philosophy with the Chiefs, but tell me how, and maybe it sounds simplistic and it's not, but I would have my defense, my backs play deep. Like I would never let Tyreek Hill beat me. I want everything in front of me. You want to get 10 yarders, 15 yarders, fine. We're going to take advantage of your defense. When you're on the field, they like to strike quick, and I want to know if they have the patience to be able to do something like that, and that is no home runs. You want to hit doubles? Hit doubles. And make them value every possession they have that they have to score because your defense isn't that good. Is that too simplistic going against the Chiefs?
Well, I think the issue with playing them like that is Travis Kelce. If Travis Kelce's injured and he isn't available to work the underneath routes and around, you know, between the hashes, 10 yards or shallower, you know, you can sit back and play them, but Travis is going to eat you alive. If you're just going to sit back and try to stop the deep ball, the big issue is Travis. And then the X factor outside of all of that is Andy Reid. He's always going to have something really with a motion, with a shift, some sort of quick screen. He's always going to do something to keep you on your toes as a defensive coordinator. So the combination of Travis Kelce working the underneath coverage in the middle of the field, and then you got Big Red calling plays from the sideline. I just don't think you can sit back and make them be patient because they can still get you with Kelce.
What do you think of Trayvon Diggs for Defensive Player of the Year?
I mean, if the season stopped right now, there's not a doubt about it. He'd win it. I mean, he just continuously finds ways to get the ball. And the other thing about him is there's a lot of DBs that you see and watch that they're going to drop a handful of picks. You know, they may end up going to the Pro Bowl with 7, 8, 9 picks, but they could have had 13 if they would have caught them all. That's the thing about Trayvon. The ball doesn't hit the ground. If he's got an opportunity to catch it, he makes the play. He completes the interception. He is like a receiver out there at defensive back.
But did you? How often would you avoid a defensive back in your career?
It depends on who it was. I mean, if it was somebody
like Revis.
Revis could shut down half the field. And he was kind of similar to Trayvon. When the ball was in the air, Revis was going to catch it. There was very few balls that just bounced off of his fingertips. He had receiver-like hands. But if you got a Revis, or I played a bunch against Troy Polamalu and Ed Reed, and if it was Troy, we ran the ball away from him. If he rotated down to the left side of the field, we ran the ball to the right, vice versa. if it was Ed and Ed was double teaming a player or taking away a half of the field, I would just work the other side of the field. So Trayvon's that type of player. I mean, if Trayvon's lined up on your number one, regardless of who it is, you should be thinking of working the other side of the field, no doubt.
Dak Prescott talked about he had to move past this game. He got injured, you know, with his ankle. But and Drew Brees talked about this, too, that you can't help but think about that injury. How often would you – how long did it take you to move past when you got hurt against the Steelers?
You know, it just takes getting past that next game because, unfortunately for Dak, and you heard him say it after the game, he said, I'm just glad this game is over with. I'm just glad I can get past it. And that's not a mental hurdle for him that he can't get over. It's just he's been asked about it week after week after week, and his teammates have been asked about it week after week. So it's just something that you, when it's constantly being asked of you, you may not be necessarily, you know, have a hurdle in your mind that you can't get past it. But when somebody's constantly reminding you, the New York Giants last year, you're playing the New York Giants in 3 weeks and 2 weeks and 1 week, it just naturally comes up in your head. So I think Dak can put this behind him. They're sitting at, I believe, 4-1 right now, one of the best offenses in the league. He's proven that he can take a hit, he can take off and run, he can step into throws. He's gotten that injury behind him, and I just expect him to continue to flourish as the season progresses.
What's your philosophy on quarterbacks trying to make tackles on interceptions, given what happened to Baker Mayfield?
You got to try. There's no doubt about it. I mean, when you make a mistake and you put the ball in the wrong place or you didn't throw it on time and everybody else did their job correctly, there's an awful feeling as a quarterback when you throw that thing and it's starting to head in a different direction. And then you got your defense on the sideline that maybe is playing a great game and they don't want that stat going on their side of the stat line because those interceptions that end up being touchdowns, those end up counting as points against your defense. So every quarterback knows that. Every quarterback thinks about that. You don't have to make the tackle. You just got to make sure he doesn't get in the end zone. But you have to give effort. You have to try or else you're going to hear it from every teammate.
Yeah, but, you know, when I see Tom Brady go in a fetal position when he's going to be sacked, or Peyton Manning kind of tries a little bit, but he doesn't want to touch that person who just picked him off. Like, those are guys that survived 20 years. You know, these guys who want to make the – like Baker Mayfield, you know, you want to stick somebody. Now he's got, you know, a damaged shoulder.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield's not Peyton Manning, and Baker Mayfield is not Tom Brady. Those guys have earned the right to make sure they stay healthy. I think Baker's 3, 4, 5 years and a number of statistics away from being able to be able to take kind of a hall pass on having to make a tackle.
How many tackles do you think you made in your career?
I had a couple good ones. I certainly missed more than I made, but I had a big chip on my shoulder. If I threw a pick and it was going the opposite direction, I wasn't worried about injury. I was worried about my teammates and letting them down. So I was giving everything I had. I was a terrible tackler. And now that I'm coaching football and I actually coach a lot of the defensive stuff, so I'm trying to talk about tackling and technique and form. And I can talk a good game, but as far as actually being able to execute it fundamentally and technically, I can't tackle.
Paulie, how many tackles did Carson have in his NFL career?
Oh, I'll get the good stuff first. 294 touchdown passes, Dan.
Okay.
That's a lot of touchdown passes. I got one tackle.
See? I could tackle.
As a rookie.
Oh, it came as a rookie. Yeah,
you just got to prove yourself once, right?
Do you think you put the fear, you know, of just that defense thinking, if I pick him off, and last thing I want is Carson Palmer to hit me?
I don't know. I threw a pick in Pittsburgh to Troy Polamalu. I think it was early on in my career, and he was my old roommate from college. And I don't know where he came from. I thought I had a nice, easy completion, and all of a sudden I see this giant paw go up and one hand this catch. And I got knocked down. I turned around, and I was standing on my own goal line. And by the time I looked up, Troy was coming at me full speed. And all I could do was duck my head and put my arms up, and he ran me over. I still have a pain in my shoulder. He put his helmet right in my AC joint on my shoulder and ran me over for a pick six. And I think that was the one tackle.
Oh, wait, you get credit for that?
I got him on the ground.
In the end zone?
In the end zone, but he went to the ground.
Does he say anything to you after a play like that?
No, Troy never says anything to anybody. So if it was anybody else, they would probably be talking trash. But Troy never, I never heard Troy talk any trash in the field. If there's any football player that ever had the right to talk trash, it was probably Troy.
And you hear that voice. And if I say that, like Mike Tyson, where you go, hey, that's the baddest man on the planet, or that's a Hall of Fame defensive. Like, I would never think Troy Polamalu was one of those, I'm all over the field, like a yoga instructor. Troy is like my sensei or something.
Yeah, just a sweetheart off the field. But once guys like him or Mike Tyson get in the ring, they become pit bulls and you got to watch out.
But, you know, you get these guys, you can't be both, right? Like, you can't be crazy off the field and on the field, can you?
Yeah, I believe you can. I've played with a number of those.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You got any names?
Ocho. Ocho was crazy off the field.
Like, how
crazy on the field?
How crazy was Chad Johnson off the field?
I mean, it depends on your definition of crazy. But I remember when Twitter first came out, Chad, and nobody really knew what Twitter was, but Chad was definitely on it. And Chad would go to the local mall in Cincinnati and send out a tweet saying, hey, I'm standing outside of Dick's Sporting Goods. And sure enough, 400 people show up and want to hang out. And then he'd take them all in and buy everybody a pair of shoes or, you know, do something. I guess that's not crazy. That's awesome. But he was just as crazy on the field as he was off. I mean, just as far as doing something you wouldn't expect. I wouldn't expect him to try to deplete Ray Lewis on the field, but he tried.
Hines Ward said that the Steelers were afraid of James Harrison.
I believe it. I believe it. I remember playing again in a game against James Harrison, and somebody got in a little bit of an altercation kind of after a play. There was a little bit of a scuffle, and I'll never forget Deshae Townsend came in. He was in the secondary. He came in out of the secondary, and Deshae was giving the Bengals, our team, a friendly warning, like, you do not want any of that. Back up right now. And it was out of, like, fear that one of us was going to get broken or snapped in half.
And chances are it'd be you.
No doubt. I was in James' crosshairs all the times.
Hey, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks, as always. And we look forward to next week.
Thank you.
That's Carson Palmer. His weekly appearance in the NFL season brought to you by our partner, Level Select CBD. You're looking for next level relief? Visit levelselectcbd.com. Yeah, as the quarterback, you don't want your teammates to be inciting somebody who may take your career in their hands, like a blitzing linebacker. I'm like, no, shh, don't say anything. But when you hear Troy Polamalu's voice, it's so soft. And when he joined us and he just talked about these plays, and I'm going, how can you be afraid of this guy? And then you watch him play, and you're like, oh, my God. It's like when I met Mike Tyson in 1986, and you sit down with him, and he's just, he was playful. He was not worldly, and he just talked in a real soft voice.
That's kind of you to say.
Thank you, Mike.
You like my pigeon collection?
I did get to see his original pigeon collection in the Catskills when he lived at Cus D'Amato's house and went up there. It just, you know, I watched the highlights of Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And maybe I'm sort of stuck in that mentality I had when I first heard Zeppelin, Stones, and The Who. Like, no band can be like them. And you start to look at, you know, Muhammad Ali and some of these other great fighters, and you go, all right, Tyson Fury, I guess he looks like Kyle Long. Don't you think? I think he looks like Howie Long's son, and he's probably around the same size. But, man, do those guys, the punches, and then you get knocked down twice and win, you know, you maintain the title. And I don't know, you know, is Deontay Wilder the second best heavyweight in the world? I guess there's a big separation between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And then it's like, oh, you got to have another fight. Do we need a fourth? I guess it'll be a big payday. The fact that Wilder knocked him down twice, it just, Wilder had no conditioning whatsoever. Like all that, the longer it went, the more trouble I thought he was in. But, I mean, it was entertaining. But I don't know if we need a fourth fight between these two. We'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Paul.
It's such a weird thing. Cincinnati Bearcat football is having a great year. They can go undefeated, and they could still be in danger of not making it.
Yeah, I think it's a nice feel-good story for people, Iowa, Cincinnati. But if you had to vote with the playoffs on the line, they're going to take a more recognizable team. Just are. You know, because Iowa has earned that right, and Cincinnati has as well. I just want to know, hey, you have to pick the four teams to play for a national championship. I wonder if they'll go, yep, Cincinnati and Iowa deserve to be in there. If we were looking at right now where they stand, would they, you know, continue to go with those? Because you got Alabama at 5. No way Alabama would be at 5. They'd keep them at 4. But, you know, you're going to have Georgia and Alabama facing each other at the end of the year for the SEC title game. Now, the loser probably stays in the playoff mix. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, it's funny. By this point of the year, usually we start pre-crowning a Heisman favorite or something. I haven't heard any name or anybody. Like, it's Columbus Day. We don't have a surefire Heisman guy we overreact to.
I think Matt Corral, but I don't think the team is very good. You know, you needed to have a good showing against Alabama. The team did not. He's a lot of fun to watch. I mean, he's got a lot of ability. He's athletic. But you know what? I thought Arkansas's quarterback matched him. And he hadn't started very many games. I still didn't understand going for 2 at the end of the game with Arkansas. I mean, I don't know what the analytics are, but it was one of those, hey, they're going for the win. And I'm like, wow, okay. I don't know what the philosophy is of if you're at home and you go for the win, if you're on the road and you go for the win. Yeah, Paulie.
McLovin's right about the Heisman because Georgia, as great as they are, it's their defense. Yeah. And it's hard to get one guy. It's not like they have remember David Pollock years ago, they had a guy. Penn State doesn't really have anyone. Iowa, as good as they are, they don't have a focal point player. Oklahoma, their guy's out. Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, maybe, but they had a loss. There's not a lot of focal point players.
James in Michigan. Hey, James, Jason in Michigan. I'm sorry. Jason in Michigan, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, just heading north from Cincinnati on our way back to Michigan. The best of the weekend would be that game. My son and I went to the Bengals game to watch a former player of mine, a basketball player, play in an NFL game. Saw him in person for the first time, so that was crazy. And then we got crazy, but we got to see that amazing missed field goal. So that would take me to my worst of the weekend. When we got done watching that game, we were, by the way, under the second row, under the upright where the ball hit the flag. But then we get out of the game. We see that the Lions lost on another game-winning field goal after watching 5 missed consecutive game-winning field goals in our game.
All right. Well, thank you, Jace. Safe travels back. Jason in Florida. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, bud.
Hey. So I got a best and a worst for you. My best was I got to finally, after all these years, put my knowledge of obscure ground rule double rules to good use because I used to umpire recreational softball. So I was telling all my friends the ones who cared last night, you know, what the correct ruling on the field should have been and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not sure how much they cared, but I felt like a big shot. So that was pretty cool. My worst, New York Giants. Saquon goes down. Daniel Jones goes down. I feel like it was partially my fault because I called you last week and was boasting about Daniel Jones and the Giants. So anything you can do to cheer me up, I'd appreciate.
Jason, thank you. Let's hope that Daniel Jones is feeling better today. Go down. Go down. Don't put your head down. Go down. Slide. Live to see another play. Because, you know, the Giants were in that game. And what was it, 10-10? Then Jones suffers the concussion. You just live to see another play. You don't get style points. You know, Baker Mayfield wants to make a play and he wants to be a tough guy. And then all of a sudden, you know, you suffer a torn labrum. Nope. 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 I'll give you effort. I just don't want to give you too much effort if I'm a quarterback. Ryan in Honolulu is back. Hey, Ryan.
Hello! Happy belated birthday, Fritzy.
Thanks, bud.
Oh, Dan, after Todd's road trip, how's the DP Show bathroom going today?
It's good. Everything's good.
Is Fritzy on the toilet?
No, no.
Or is the toilet on the Fritz? I got some Todd sports-related birthday names for you.
Oh, okay.
All right. A couple of NFL ones here. Deuce McAllister. NFL lineman Richie Incontinenzo. Green Bay Packers tight end John Runyon Bagel.
Onion bagel.
NFL coach Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles.
DP show favorite Steve Schatz. MLB star Bartolo Colonoscopy.
All right. Okay. All right. We're good. It was Todd's birthday. 10-10. Same day, same year, same month as Brett Favre. Dale Jr. also birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Todd.
Thank you very much.
Todd, do you wish any of those people that share your birthday, do you wish them a happy birthday?
I do. Mainly Brett Favre, because, you know, same day, month, year. But happy birthday to all the 10-10ers out there.
What did I learn today, Todd?
As Seton points out, Oklahoma is the place you transfer to so you can win a Heisman and be a top draft pick. So Spencer Rattler may be in trouble.
The compact GLA proves it's not the size of the SUV in the fight. The size of the fight in the SUV. Learn more about the nimble and ready for anything Mercedes-Benz vehicle at MBUSA.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert on the program tomorrow. Talk to you then. Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out the show. Go to rockauto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need, they're there for you 24/7. So many great things about this company. Founded back in 1999. It's a family business founded by automotive engineers. And they had two goals in mind. They want to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the store counter. And second, make the parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. You can check the box on both of those. RockAuto.com has the correct parts for vehicles of all ages. A vehicle that turns the engine off at every stoplight or has the battery installed in the trunk needs a modern AGM battery like those RockAuto.com sells. And yes, the batteries delivered right to your door. So you're not wasting the time and the money hunting for those parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. You simply go to RockAuto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Just write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know you listened to the program. All the parts your car or truck will ever need, the great folks at RockAuto.com.